ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER101. And we're sort of talking about if you're the outdoorsy type and outdoor medicine, wilderness medicine, it's called. My guest, Dr. Hans House, is with us. And I have to say, there's a new show on Discovery Channel called Naked and Afraid, which I love, where they drop people that are naturalists and survivalists into the wilderness naked. I don't know why they have to do that, but it makes for an interesting show. With nothing, like one thing, a pot, a knife, a whatever, a machete, one item. And then they have to survive almost a month out there. Not a vacation I would want to take. But there were some interesting survival things I saw people doing. And, you know, and then there's always the issue. They obviously have doctors sitting around with clothes on at the show. And if there's a problem, they rush in the medical team and decide whether the contest is over. But let's talk a little bit about, what do you think are the important things? You know, say you're out camping or say something bad happens and you get lost in the wilderness. What do you think, Dr. House?
Sure. Well, if I were naked and alone in the wilderness, my priorities definitely are going to be water and warmth. When I see people that get into trouble in the wilderness because they develop hypothermia, and that can happen any time in the year, even in the summer.
Especially if you're naked, right?
Yes, exactly, especially if you're naked. Right. And then water, and not just getting water, but actually clean water, and that can be a challenge. So if your first priority should be to get clothing, or to get something to cover you, and then you should get and to get shelter, and that's how you focus on staying warm, and not losing heat. You can lose heat very quickly into the ground. If the ground is cold. If you lie in the cold ground, just skin down to cold ground, you lose your body heat through conduction very quickly, and you can become hypothermic.
Right, at any time during the year, which is
any time of the year.
Interesting, which I saw too on this show. They would drop people in the tropics, and if they got a little wet, that's another issue, right? If it's raining, even though the temperature can be high, just being wet kind of wicks the heat away.
That evaporation is... loses the heat even faster, exactly.
So and what I guess if you are stuck out there and your clothes get wet, so building a shelter, you know, Boy Scouts are pretty good at that, and they do give you wonderful skills as a Boy Scout. So building a shelter and a fire are two important things for people to do. And I was amazed, you know, That was always the key. And so if you had a fire, too, something that you could boil water in, I guess, would be another important thing.
If you can get a source of water. So the water that is in most streams in North America is contaminated with Giardia. You could drink it, but you'd get sick and you'd be really uncomfortable for the next couple of weeks. And the diarrhea that you could get is going to cause you to lose more water, and you'll actually end up losing more nutrients and water through your diarrhea than we would be able to drink. So it is important to have clean water. And a way to take care of that is to boil your water for a couple of minutes before you drink it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's why, I was amazed. The people that survived the best, one of them, you know, they would have a pot with them. So you're thinking, okay, a pot, just a single pot, if that was your only thing. But it ended up being pretty good because once they could build fire rubbing sticks together, which seemed pretty near impossible to me. But luckily, most people that go off camping and stuff take things with them. So it's not like you can pick one thing and you have no clothing. So some of the key tips for people to think about, even if they're camping in the summer, then would you say is to bring some warm clothing with them too, and an extra set in case things get wet?
Bring layers, bring extra clothing. Exactly. I think having something that is like a bandana or some sort of towel like that is very functional, because you can use it to cover your head. If you get hot, you can use it as a sling or as a wrap for ankle in case you bump something. So you'll find a lot of different uses for it.
That's a good point. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit. So if you sprain something, I mean, what about, do you recommend having some first aid kit that might have some things in it for minor injuries and stuff? What would you put in a first aid kit?
We always recommend, obviously, the extra clothes and extra water. We have this kind of trick question that we ask our students and residents that we're training in wilderness medicine. We give them a scenario. You're in the wilderness and you're there with a friend, and your friend gets bit by a snake, and you have a Swiss Army knife, a bottle of vodka, a bandana, and car keys. How do you fix their problem? And the answer is to grab the car keys, rent your car, and take the person into the hospital and not to do anything in the field. So the most important thing is to be able to have a way to get out, and that's going to be some sort of communication device.
So you mean the X and sucking out the venom?
We don't do that,
in the movies. That's just in the movies. What about, though, a tourniquet? Aren't there instances where a tourniquet is necessary in the wilderness?
Again, you could use your bandana for that, exactly.
Right.
And there are some purposes for that. The snake bite, if it's really going to be a prolonged time until that person can be evacuated, sometimes we do recommend a tourniquet. A tourniquet is going to be used when you've got a deep cut and you're losing a lot of blood. That would be a good reason to use it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, recently, wasn't it in the news, Dr. Oz and some plumber did this for a poor woman that was hit by a taxi in New York City, no less, and applied a tourniquet because she was bleeding very badly in the tourist. Yeah, and Dr.
Cool.
Oz was there, too. So that's interesting. And then what about, say, someone does sprain or you're with someone that's a sprain, can you use a sort of a splint with your handy bandana, tie something, a tree limb? Does that help stabilize it and make it more comfortable for people while you're trying to evacuate them?
Sure. I mean, if someone sprains an ankle, they're not, if it's sprained and not broken, they're really not in particular danger. It's going to hurt, and they're not going to be able to walk on it, so they're going to need some assistance in walking, and maybe you'll need to use a tree limb or something as kind of as a crutch. The problem is when someone actually breaks a bone, and you'll know the difference when it's like, really obvious, when like the bone is, when the leg is going a different direction.
Right.
And that one, you really can't walk on at all, and you probably do want to mobilize it to minimize the amount of bleeding that's going on at the bone. And then that stick with your handy bandana is a great way of applying some sort of temporary field, splint or stabilization device, and that's kind of not too different than what we use in the hospital.
Right, and I have to tell you, I mean, I haven't seen too many people wearing bandanas lately, but I think this could really the demand for the old-fashioned bandana could really go up, because it seems like there's so much you can do with the bandana. What about an arm injury? You said you could make a sling for an arm with a bandana,
sure,
too.
Definitely, that would work great.
Yeah.
There's one of our colleagues in emergency medicine has a great talk on wilderness preparation, and he titles it, his talk, 101 Uses for a Safety Pin. That's what he called the talk when he first developed the talk. The number of uses is up to 180 or something like that. He just didn't bother changing the title of the talk.
So adding the safety pin to the bandana is
then you're really good to go.
Then you're set. Why even go to the hospital? But I have to say, even I was when my son was little, they had a skating party, and for some reason, some crazy mothers who didn't skate decided to try and skate, and of course, one of them fell down. I look at her hand, total dinner fork deformity. Knew she had a fracture, and she, of course, we weren't going to call an ambulance, but I even used her sweatshirt to sling her arm and stabilize her until her husband came to pick her up and take her to the hospital. So there's a lot of things that you can do with clothing or bandanas. Well, I want to thank my guest, Dr. House. It's been very interesting. So this is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.